You know, the first thing that I did in terms of this story, I did interview Sergeant Silas about this. Can I ask you, where did you first encounter the sergeant?
We, as our research team, interviewed a group of National Guard soldiers in Kansas City, Missouri last winter, and we ran into him then.
And where did those soldiers come from? Were they all over?
They were from the Missouri National Guard in a unit that was outside of Kansas City.
Okay. What were you interviewing them about? What did you hope to learn?
They were a unit that had recently returned from Afghanistan, and we just wanted to talk to them about their experiences over there in route clearance operations and learn about their experiences and what made them good, what worked, what didn't work.
You know, we've been dealing with the situations in Iraq and Afghanistan, dealing with IEDs and these type of situations now for about a decade. What have soldiers learned that they're sharing with you?
Well, what we've learned is that most of the targets are found visually with the human eyeball. Even though we have a lot of technology, they're still found visually. So our interest has been to try and understand what makes some soldiers better at this task than other soldiers. And so our focus is to get with them, get to know the soldiers, and run a variety of tests on the soldiers and just try to understand what makes them good.
Is that frustrating for someone who develops technology to hear that so many of them, so many of these devices are being found without the use of the technology or with that at least as just a supplement?
Well, my directorate in the Army Research Lab is the Human Research and Engineering Directorate, and we're really focused on developing the capabilities of the human being. And so looking at the soldier as a human and trying to best understand perception capabilities, visual, hearing, you know, how they work, what their metabolic capabilities are, to really take that human and optimize the human with the machines.
And so is this an effort to work within the equipment that's there, or are you talking about maybe developing some new methods, some new technology, and some new vehicles?
Well, first of all, and actually the answer is both. If we can understand the human and what gives the human the capability to visually detect targets, then down the road that may help us design equipment to visually detect targets. But in the meantime, let's understand the human, what makes them good, and then develop training programs that can make all soldiers better at the task.
And there's a comment in this article I'm reading with the National Guard here where you reference Sergeant Silas, and you said you found something special in talking to him.
Yes, he had a, and his command and the guard came to us and said, "You got to meet this soldier. He really is special." And he had an important role in operating a piece of equipment that's very difficult to operate, and I think he mastered that piece of equipment. And in addition to that, by the position he was in operating that equipment, then visual detection became a very important capability that he had. So we wanted to pick his brain and learn all we could about how he did the visual detection.
What can you tell us about what you are developing based on his input?
Well, we recognize that in a lot of cases we introduce very sophisticated pieces of equipment for the soldiers to use, and sometimes those can be distractors. Sometimes they complement what the soldier may be doing looking outside the vehicle, and so we try to develop means to interface the machine and the soldier. So what he helped us understand is all the things that he had to do of visually looking outside the vehicle, what was important to him, what were the criteria that he looked for, and then how he also uses the technology inside the vehicle to help him interpret what he's seeing.
Now, is there any thought there when you reference the sophistication of the equipment in somehow changing that, maybe making it less sophisticated? Is there a way to simplify things?
Yes, and we, Army Research Laboratory, is very involved with that. We have an individual that works a model that looks at the equipment that a soldier has to operate, and then it helps us understand how much of his resources, his cognitive and visual resources and other other resources had to be committed to that machine versus the other tasks that he has to do. And then we can, by using that information, we can use human factors engineering to help better design the equipment so it's less distracting and easier for the soldier to use and interpret.
Is this sort of a continuous effort, or is this part of a project that you can kind of put at some point you'll be able to say, okay, we're done with this, we're going to move on to the next task?
We've been working on this particular project for about 3 years now, and you know, I think we make improvements on it, and I think as long as we're at war, this will probably be a pretty high priority.
And having said that, then are we seeing some things that you developed and some improvements all the time being introduced overseas, or is there at some point in which you're going to take a lot of these things and try and implement them all at once, and when might that be?
We've developed some training that's helped soldiers, I think, that have been introduced in theater, and it's kind of a continuing basis. We continue to refine what we're developing and then provide that to units in the field to use.
All right. How do you hope to, what is your eventual outcome that you're hoping for?
Well, of course, we want to make the soldier as good as he can possibly be at visually detecting the indicators of the targets that we're looking for, and it's always an evolving target to an extent because the enemy evolves and they get better at doing their task. So we have to try to keep pace with that and understand what soldiers are looking for and develop better means to teach them to look for those targets.
Those of us who have never been there and don't know what these soldiers are faced with, what it is that they and the equipment look for, I think we probably have a vision in our heads of maybe a landmine on the ground, a little lump on the ground, or some device along the side of the road with a tripwire on it. What are these guys up against that we don't comprehend?
I think the challenges are they're out on missions that last multiple hours, maybe a good portion of a day. So they're like anybody else would be. They get tired. They're visually searching all the time, and we can only do that for so long a time before we just get tired, and it's hard to continue that process. They need to know how to look. We're studying experts and that teach tracking to the Army. They learn how to look at the ground and see things that us laymen can't see. So we're trying to learn from them to help teach soldiers how better to see what they may be looking for, how to better perceive what they're looking for. It's difficult to train exposures to targets, so we're developing some new methods, some advanced video that will provide, we hope, improved training over simply going out and driving down roads. And so we're working on a variety of different things, and we're going to, in a research project coming up, where we're actually going to run subjects here in the second week in December down at Fort Huachuca. We're going to take soldiers and give them various different training programs and compare that to a standard Army training program and see if we improve their capability to detect targets.
When you talked about the length of time that these guys are doing this, and it is a very taxing job, is there some thought to somehow shortening the amount of time that one individual is exposed to that position?
Well, I think commanders in the field probably do as well as they possibly can, but they're given, they've only got so many soldiers, and they've got missions they have to complete. So I think they probably do a great job managing that. There's just limits of what they can do.
Sure. Are you still working with Sergeant Silas?
Yes, we are. He will be out at Fort Huachuca. He's helping us design the lanes that we build out there for the research project, and he's absolutely instrumental in our research team.
And how has he performed as being a member of this kind of work, being a part of this research project?
Well, he provides the technical expertise, or the tactical expertise, I should say. If we have a group of research people that may or may not have had Army experience, and they are very skilled in their particular area of research, but if we don't have a soldier, then we don't have the realism that's needed for the research. And so Sergeant Silas is the guy that's been there on the ground in Afghanistan and can really help us provide a more realistic environment for the research.
And is he? Does he seem to be enthused to be a part of this work?
He is very enthusiastic and has a great way of communicating, and everybody that works with him just really enjoys the interface with him. I think that's something special. He has all the tactical knowledge, but he has such a pleasant way about him to communicate the information that he has.
And sometimes that's the whole challenge, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know, I think he works very closely with his National Guard unit, and the guard units have a great deal of expertise, and we're able to receive that guard expertise through him. So it's just a great opportunity to team. And this whole thing is a teaming effort from the Army Research Lab to the Army Research Institute, from the Missouri National Guard. The Leonard Wood Institute is the agency that we work with here at Fort Leonard Wood that's very unique. They receive funding through the Army Research Lab, but then they have the ability to go out and contract for research. And that's how we were able to reach out to David Silas. And without the Leonard Wood Institute, we wouldn't have been able to bring him on board to support our research.